verse that came to me this morning in the letter from Psalm 25, the 25th Psalm. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed who transgress without force. Show me thy ways, O teach me thy path. Let me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember now not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to the mercies, remember thou me for the goodness sake of the Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in justice, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenants and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquities, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet off the nest. Turn unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged, and bring thou me out of my distress. Look upon my afflictions and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I have put my trust in thee. Let the integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem the trouble of God out of all his trouble. The verse that came to my mind this morning was, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. We often, when we have times of problems, I think I may have mentioned it last week, we tend to look unto the Lord, or we ask the Lord for help at such times. But this verse, I thought of this morning, is we're gathered here with a few, but we should still lift up our soul. And when you think lift up my soul, it can be quite a lot of things. It's just the soul within us that we can lift up with the Lord. So we can do a lot of lifting up in the morning meeting. We can lift up our voices in praise to him. We can lift up our speaking, reading, whatever the case may be. But I think the most important thing is to lift up our soul, is to be in a way cheerful. That is very, very important in an assembly or any church. Well, wherever we go, that we do look as if we really are enjoying what we're doing. And so it should be too, and I'm sure some of you, like myself, when you're unable to go to an assembly or wherever you gather on a normal Sunday, you go somewhere else. And sometimes you see people sitting there and they seem like so sad, when really we are the redeemed of the Lord. Then when you think of people like this, you wonder if the reason that they are looking sad is because purely they are not taught what salvation is. Think about that. You look at other church services you may see on television when there's something going on, they have a service there. And most of them are all there with their faces and eyes gone over them all, right in place or all in the right place, and they never move. That's wrong. It really is so wrong to be in a place like that. It doesn't say for nothing, under thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. It is with rejoicing in our heart that we should be gathered here, or anywhere for that matter. If we can't rejoice in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an enormous problem. We really do. Because if we think that our Lord and Savior is one, we should sit with a straight face and something we can't smile, maybe we're going to the wrong place. Because you need it. If you think constantly and are reminded of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us, you can't but help and hold back the joy that's within our heart. We can't. That doesn't mean, in the other side of course, that we should all carry on in a way which is not ordinary.
We have to be orderly. But in our hearts, I think that's where the difference is. In our hearts, we need to rejoice. And I think we demonstrated that once again this morning by being gathered in His presence, where we can sing hymns of praise. Sometimes we don't always know the tune and it doesn't come out right. But in our heart, it does come out right. And the Lord does hear it in the right way. It's not often how we sing. We sometimes may think, boy, that was a little bit off. But that doesn't really matter. I think it's when we read the words and when we sing the words, that the words we sing are meant from our heart. And that's what the Lord is. Because we can make a joyful noise of the Lord. Now remember when we come from a very small assembly, one thing we can always be sure that we did, we made a joyful noise. That's all it was. But if we do it in that fashion, there is nothing wrong with that. If it's done with respect and in the right way, always honouring the Lord and Saviour, we will always get a blessing from it. So it's important not only in the Lord's Day morning, but even in the evening. And sometimes we are given a solemn message from the Lord, and we need to take it solemnly. But then I think, take it out of the context, and how do we see ourselves through the week? I was thinking about that. We did that this morning in Sunday school. And we were talking about not to be grumpy. And I think I'd take it to the water. So get a bit grumpy. But how do we act through the week? And it's something that we need to constrain ourselves to. Do we also lift up our souls through the week when it does become difficult? Do we lift up our souls before those people that need lifting up, that need cheering up, that need to be carried through? Or do we come over as gloomy people ourselves? We can't be of any encouragement to those types of people. Verse 2. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. If you take another part of that verse, let not my enemies triumph over me. There's only one way that we can not let our enemies triumph over us, and that is to do what the beginning of the verse says, and that is, I trust in thee. That is very, very important. This verse you have to sometimes take backwards. You give the answer, and then it's given you the question. If we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hearts, our enemies will never triumph over us. Now, if you think of that, does that mean that we will always be better than those that don't believe? Or we always be better than people we may not like so much? It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that we are any better whatsoever. But it means we shall never be ashamed. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're never ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and able to speak freely wherever we have the opportunity, we triumph over all. So that's the beauty of it. I think each one of us has a problem when it comes to we meet somebody and they start to speak about Christian things we have not on. Here's the problem. You know, how are we going to face this one? Then we start to talk and there never is a problem because at that moment we triumph because we have Christ by our side. So that's the beauty about speaking about God's word. It's something you never have to do on your own. The minute you stand up and you start to speak God's word on your own, you might as well close because what's going to come out of your mouth won't have any strength or any power left. We can only speak or say the things written in God's word when we know that we have Christ in us and Christ beside us when we speak it. We can speak words which sound really beautifully and listen to it later and think, boy, did I say that well? Well, you might as well stand in a room on your own and say it because that's about all it's going to be worth. But the things that we say, it doesn't matter how we say them, it's important what's written in God's word and what we bring across, not the amount of words. Oh my God, in thee I trust. And if we really trust in him, we shall never be ashamed. Times in my life that I've been ashamed, and I can look back at times and that didn't really go all that well. And you can always tie it back to times when you weren't always close to the Lord. And I don't know if that in your life, but I know it is in mine. And I'm not ashamed to say so. There's times when you don't walk hand in hand with the Lord. And there are also times when your enemies seem to be better than you do. And that's the time that we come back to the Lord. Verse 3. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let none that wait on thee. A big meaning in that. It doesn't mean if you're going to trust in the Lord and we're not going to be ashamed, that we come Sunday morning to church just for Sunday, and we're going to get enough to encourage us through the week. It says here, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. You know what waiting, some of them wait. I sometimes get people that visit me and I'm doing something and I have to sit in the front and I have to wait. We've been at the doctor's appointments, if the doctor like we have, it seems like they're returning. You're always waiting. Waiting is doing something constantly. Waiting on the Lord. If you wait for the Lord, you and I, those of us that love the Lord Jesus Christ, are waiting for his coming. That means we're in a set place, which is here, waiting for his coming. It really means that we can be occupied with something. Because if we have an appointment with somebody at 12 o'clock, and it's 10 past 12, you don't think, oh, I'm going to wander on down the path and come back to 12 o'clock. That's not waiting for that person. It's the same as waiting for the Lord. We don't come here Sunday morning and then we're finishing, right, well, that's done and over with for a week. I'll come back here next Sunday. I mean, we're not really waiting for the Lord. Waiting for the Lord is being constantly occupied with the Lord. Now, I'd be the first one to say that I failed tremendously. And there's nothing wrong in admitting that. Because if I stand here and say that I'm constantly waiting for the Lord knows that I don't. But the Lord also knows the intentions of our heart, that we do try to wait on the Lord. We have things to do, that life goes on, because we have a responsibility. But when possible, we must be waiting for the Lord. And while with me, when it all gets too hard and I think, oh, why even bother? Try thinking of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then all the things of this world that really give you a hard time, really torment us, or other brothers and sisters, or whoever it may be, they become absolutely nothing and meaningless in the thought of the coming of Christ. And the more we are occupied with this sort of thing, the more important it is. But you see what I mean with, yea, that none that wait on the Lord be ashamed. Waiting is a constant thing. It's a continuity. It does not stop. You never ever stop waiting on the Lord. And that's why it says you won't be ashamed, because you're constantly occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. And I think if we think on these things, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he has done, like we did this morning, in all simplicity, and the Lord has seen it like that, and if we continue to wait on the Lord until that moment, that we shall all be united with love and song before, and those of us all together, there will be one big assembly of Christians from various churches and denominations. Be all those that love the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. We will not be ashamed, provided we continue to wait for him, and not only wait, but continue to trust in him. May the Lord bless us as we go through this week. May he teach us in some more perfect way to just more clearly wait for him.
Amen.